the Super Bowl, we have Wayne Gruden.
This is Tom. What's your name?
Wearing a suit, okay.
All right, let's get started with the discussion. Kuflam and Dalid. We left off with Pisrei Tshuva. But let's just go back to Shulchan Aruch for 1 second. Quick review, page 23. So, anybody want to remind us what we had in the Shulchan Aruch in Kuflam and Dalid, starting with Sif Dalid? What do we have? Josh Brofman?
Made a distinction for if there's a, well, one thing was that if there's a knas, meaning it seems that with a fila, that's fine. It's not considered to be an akhtia. But b'dieva, meaning based on how I guess we would rather him not have
the opposite, a, right? Meaning the opposite, right?
Yeah.
B'dieva, it's okay.
Right. But with a fila, we don't want you because it's maybe it's like sort of like a kia, or some people say that it's kia.
Good. So kuflam dot aleph, kuflam dalid, sif dalid. So what's that a case of? A case of a shvua legarish. You swear that you're going to divorce, correct? So the formulation here implies, as Josh is suggesting, that lechatchila, this is problematic, but b'dieved, it wouldn't possible to get because it's only shloye dom melones, correct? Okay, so that's a Shvua Lagarish. What's the issue with Shvua? What do we think is the issue here? What are two reasons why this wouldn't possible to get B'dieved? Charlie, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Ezra, do you know?
Ezra?
Yes, Ezra.
Possibly because one said the Nafshe.
Good. One is onto the Nafshe. And number two, Benji?
Alternative path available.
What?
There's like an alternative path available.
Yeah. Well, Nishba is taking a shua. So there's no real alternative path here. Yeah. What else, Rami?
No, I'm just that violating shua is considered
threat. Yeah, meaning it's the threat of violating your shua, but how terrible is that? So you violate your shua, you'll violate an isser. It's not clear that that counts as being forced into divorcing your wife. Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch said that you're allowed to put down a deposit. You're allowed to give a security that you will forfeit if you don't end up divorcing your wife. She'ein zed domil ones, because that's not analogous to ones. So there the Shulchan Aruch didn't explain. We have to figure out what the, why that's okay. But it is analogous to the next case that we have, the Beis Yosef B'Shem Tshuva. Anybody know who this Tshuva is from? Remember, look at the Beis Yosef, look at it inside. Avalim kibol of kenasos and lo yagarish lo migriones. If you agree to a penalty, a fine for not giving your wife, forget that's not ones. What's the rationale there? This, Benji, is what you were suggesting. So a financial penalty for not divorcing your wife, that is not considered duress according to the tshuva and the Beis Yosef. Why? Good. You could always just pay the fine. You're not under an obligation to give a get. You're simply making it costly for yourself to not give a get. But that path of paying the knas is wide open to you. It'll cost you money, but you're not being forced to divorce. Everybody see that? So that's this idea here of talagita b'davar acher. There's no duress on the get itself. There's simply a some other cost that's being imposed on you. But that's the tshuva in the Beis Yosef. We'll look at that in a second. The yesh machmirin afilu b'chiyai gavna. Let's just flesh out the tshuva of the Beis Yosef for a second. So under the tshuva of the Beis Yosef, the tshuva that the Beis Yosef cites, if I were to agree in a prenuptial agreement that I'll pay $1 million if I don't give a get to my wife, is that kosher? Yeah, totally kosher, right? Why is that not acceptable though? Because the next line in the Shulchan Aruch walks that back with the opposing view of the Tshuva Rashba. So what's the Tshuva Rashba's position? Rafi, did you know the Tshuva Rashba? V'yesh machmir nafilu b'chiyai gavna, v'tov lachash l'chatchilu l'pacha min haknas. The Rashba, at least l'chatchila, thinks that it's better to not have any knas there. We'll look at the Rashba inside. But that's the reason why people get uncomfortable with the idea of a financial penalty that will serve as an incentive to give a get. Okay. But it's very clear from the Tshuvas of Rashba. Avalim kvar girish mipnei zeh, filu girish mikach shvua shasa me'atzma legarish, I get kasher. Ho'ol mitchil lo ansu al kach. At least b'di'eved, it's not going to disqualify the get. And what's the rationale here? Ho'ol mitchil lo ansu al kach. Ned? No one forced him to take on the shvua or the financial penalty. That's the idea of unsa d'nafshei. You're now subject to your past self, but no one forced your past self to undertake this liability. Everybody see that? So far, so good? Okay. And then the last line in the Shulchan Aruch, you get this discussion from the Tshuva of the Tashbetz, which we'll look at. Anybody start that Tshuva of the Tashbetz yet? The very first Tshuva? Yeah. It's Mayim Shein Lem Sof. Yeah, it's like really long. What? Yeah, wow. But I'll cut it down for those of you who are weak.
I'm weak. I would appreciate that.
Huh? Really? I understand. Like you think you'll never be able to read through a long tube of the Rishonim?
Oh,
yeah. That's so sad. No, it's like that. Well,
yeah.
When are you gonna push? When are you gonna push yourself to like sit through? Look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef gives you like in 10 lines like the salient features of that tshuva. He clearly read through the whole thing. Yeah? That's it. It's going to be a part of Judaism that's off limits to you. Well, you're just going to read through Art Scroll or like Steinsaltz translated Gemaras and that's it. Benji, that's what you aspire for? And if they're not? Some tshuvas of Tashbetz are short, but every now and then you got to wade through a 20-page tshuva. Well,
I'm just disagreeing with all we got. I'm pretty sure we're not concise.
Fans who? It's good. It's good to be in the habit of reading through long Rishonim. No?
You think that's the best way to learn how to read long Rishonim?
Yeah, how else do you want to read them?
Audiobook.
On char tube at 2.5 speed with no commercials. What? Well, how do you miraculously? I mean, you'd work at it. Figure out what they're. Well?
I don't know. I was being confident. They just go back and forth like a lot. Like,
yeah.
It seemed a little extra.
So you're only gonna be able to read the Cliff Notes version.
Right, exactly. Like it'd be like a one page and one page and I read it.
It's so sad. What are you gonna do when I'm not here to highlight and underline and cut down the chuvas for you?
Also, when you underline it makes it make you feel like I can't read the stuff that's not underlined.
Yeah, so you're saying I should stop underlining?
I'm saying, like, in a source like Tashbetz, yeah, it's an awful
report. Yeah.
All right, so what's the summary here in the Tashbetz of the Shulchan Aruch? Yesh omrim, v'lo mikri ones, ela masha onsin l'adam atzma, v'alam atzma acher ad she'igarish chaver, afilu av al-bino, lehepech lo mikri ones. Let's call this vicarious ones. You're coercing somebody else, which then incentivizes the migarish to divorce. So the first view of the Shulchan Aruch, which comes from the Tashbetz, is that that's totally permissible. It's a bit of a mystery why this is not considered ones. Like, why does it matter whether you're twisting his own arm or you're twisting somebody else's arm? So we kind of raised a few possibilities in the last year. Ned, do you remember what those possibilities were? Why is ones la'cherem kosher?
As you are. It's still your will.
Everything's your will. Agavonti Gamer Machni is also your will, right? Remember, why would Kfiya Lacherim be different? Yoni? Maybe it's like you could just let the other person suffer. But what does that show? Like, what's the significance of that? So maybe it's just less coercive, meaning it infringes less obviously on your decision-making capacities.
Yeah,
what's the difference? Is there a difference if I put a gun to someone's head and I say divorce your wife, or I put a gun to his child's head and say divorce your wife? There's a difference. Let's say it's a sibling. I could put a gun to Ezra's head and say divorce, or I could put a gun to his sibling's head and say if Ezra doesn't divorce. Is there really a difference in those two? Yeah. Well, what's the difference?
Because he's not in that same immediate duress. So at least if you're using the second definition of what fear is, you're feeling like you're capable.
Yeah. Okay. Right. There's kind of just a difference whether you're making a decision about yourself or others. And the thought is, in most cases, it's less duress if somebody else's welfare is on the line rather than your own. That seems to be the idea here. Maybe there's an exception for Av Albino, father to his son, but for other relatives, yeah, Shulchan Aruch seems to recognize that there's an important difference. An onus on somebody else.
Oh, not onus,
the thing that we just read in the Shulchan Aruch.
No, not the.
That's the earlier distinction about Nishba. Okay. Now let's just look at the Beis Yosef for a second. Some Kuflam Dalet. I added this to page 24. This is the tshuva that the first day on the Shulchan Aruch is relying on. That if you're machayev yourself with a knas, that's not considered to be onus. So let's get a volunteer to take us through this tshuva of the Beis Yosef sites. Ezra, Kasser of Maimonor. What are the facts?
Right, Reuben accepted a knas on himself of 100 gold coins from the Adol Mahir.
Yeah, and if he fails to divorce her, presumably they were separated. I guess they were separated already. She moved out of the house. And he's now obligating himself to give her a get. Correct?
Okay.
The Heshiv. So what is her Maimon respond? Anybody know who this fellow is?
Maimon Noir?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me neither.
Is it not related to
the Rana? Maybe. Kind of strange.
Yeah.
Right? Who is he? It's an anonymous person. If you Google him, you just get this tshuva of the Beis Yosef.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange, right?
All you need is one good story. You understand?
Well, yeah, but who is he? You know?
He's the guy who...
Like, where did the Beis Yosef... Like, where did the Beis Yosef dig him up from? Kind of funny, right? It's a pretty influential psak. Okay, so let's go on, Ezra.
It's only considered a gemusa when you force him without his dasa something that he doesn't want to do.
That's the key line. Bedavar she'ino rotzo lasos. You're forcing him to do something against his will.
Right.
The thought here is that his will is ligarish.
Because he accepted himself.
Because he was mechayev himself, right? Avast, yeah, go on.
Aval. In this case, where he's mechayev himself to do it, then it's not considered kfir.
The thought is that something that's self-imposed doesn't count as coercion, right? I think that's pretty clear from the tshuva. She calls Manchimagarish Bertzano. Right, so even though he now has no ability of staying married to his wife without losing a lot of money, that's still not considered onas. So we're saying none of that makes it coercion because that's all just realizing his own will. So on this theory, if I obligate myself to pay $1 million, if I don't divorce my wife, and then now I'm liable to pay $1 million, that's not onus. Because that's just my own ratzon.
But what if you're mikareya?
So that's something we don't know. That's unclear from this tshuva. The Pesachei tshuva thinks that would become onus if you change your mind.
Right. Which is, if it's not mentioned here, that would imply it.
What?
That's what would be implied, I think.
It's that I'm less sure about. Well,
no, because if you're made for it, then it's not your ratzon anymore.
Well,
but the assumption is that you've made the decision with your ratzon, so you have to, like, you know, can your ratzon not change? Or is, like,
yeah, but you have to make your decision with your ratzon. You can't go back on the decision you made. That if you kill someone, then you gotta go. I regret killing
mine. Everyone starts making, like, the jump, like,
crazy. Well, he says, is there ratzono haya mitchila legarish? Ubertsono omegarish.
Right, that's exactly why he set this up.
What?
Theoretically, that's why he set it up.
To put pressure on himself.
Right. So that you know that in the moment you might be able to.
Right. So his true rutzone is to give his wife a get, and that's why he made it costly for himself not to. So I don't think we know anything about what the Beis Yosef would hold in the case of, or what this Ramaimon would hold in the case of Mischari. Romy, it sounds like you're arguing that even if you're mischari, we would.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it doesn't.
You think it doesn't? I mean, you agree with the Mishnah of Siakov.
Yeah, the whole reason is, like, the way he spotted it out is, like, that's really what your ratzon is. So if you're able to say that if once you're mischari, then that's not your ratzon.
Right. Well,
what's the Hiddish other one?
The Hiddish that you might think that even when you're not mischari, no, it's still duress because you're forced into it.
But you decided to do it. Yeah.
But you're still but you still made it so costly that it's as if you're being forced, right?
Even though you want to. Even though you're not inspired.
So even though you want to, you still, like, kind of have to do it because it's a lot of the fact it's a huge financial burden.
Zev's saying, what's the chiddush?
Yeah.
Well, the chiddush is you might have thought that you have to be mevatel that.
Right. Well,
that shnas.
But what you really
thought
you want to do? No.
What do you really thought that?
What?
What do you really thought that?
They had to rebuttal it?
I think that happens.
Well, in the Nishba case, the Shulchan Aruch thinks you have to be, in Nishba Lagarish, you have to be Matir the Shvua, because even if you want to divorce her.
Because
of Dom Alonis. So it's a little tricky there. I mean, there you might say, but that's just
don't. If you don't, then it works.
Right. I think it's not clear. I think it's really just not clear from this tshuva what, if he's talking about a case of mischari. Again, the chiddush of the Mishkan of Yaakov, when we look at them in the Pesachei tshuva, is that he thinks it wouldn't apply in case of mischari. Ezra?
I mean, I think you've also got another nafkamina in the form of, do we care about stam ratzon at some point versus ratzon at the moment giving a get? Which does, I think, have broader implications outside of this one specific question. I think it can make the argument it has implications for get by Shaliyah. Potentially, if the topic of Ratzon comes up in other sugyot, potential for.
Right. One way of reading this is to say that we have his Ratzon Mitchila, right? Shezer Ritzono Haya Mitchila Legarish. Uvertzono Humagarish. Right? Like we got his Ratzon at a critical moment. And so that's sufficient. Right, and now because of his earlier ratzon, he's locked his present ratzon in by force of it being so expensive for him to not have ratzon. So all the ingredients are here, right? Vaknasha asa bertzono asa. That's what he imposed on himself. Josh,
that's a little difficult based on a previous thing we had, though. Now, like, even if you're, like, commanding people to read again, like, you have a lot of rest on, like, all it takes is, like, now a little bit of give it with your wife or something, and all of a sudden, like, you're ruining it. Like, you would think you'd give that, you know, rest on is a very not
right, except that, right, right, except that here he's still on board,
Right. I think if you're trying to argue that it's
even. He's still on board, but only he's only on board because of the narrow path before him based off his earlier financial commitment.
Yeah. So that we're not the same as you locked him for Red Zone. That's an argument the same as you still need to have some Red Zone now.
Yeah, but let's put it that the only reason why you have that Red Zone now is because you put the bumpers on the lane earlier. So like you forced your rut zone down that path. Okay, we got a motzi ishto. So let's look at this interesting raya that he has, Ezra. We got a motzi ishto mishum shemra and rinan. What's this raya?
That you're making like a nether against.
The gittin mem bavim beis. What's going on there?
I don't know. I
see. It's in the nether as well. I mean, we wanted the.
What's the case? Gittin mem bav. What's the mishnah? Yes, true. Kol peros olam alai yemeini megar sheich.
All fruits would not be. Is fruit or fruit? We would say that all fruits. He wouldn't eat any of the fruits of the world if he doesn't divorce this woman.
Yeah, so if he doesn't divorce her, he's going to prohibit. Yeah, he'll never eat fruit again. So the question is, Hayala adas kishagirsha shenomar shahaya honest avor akonim. He's saying, look, you don't get any sense from that Gemara that the past konim calls into question the volition of the girshin, even though it's very costly now for him to not give a get. So the argument is that, look, that's got to be okay. And what's the rationale? Kivan shebirtzono nadar. As long as you like put the bumpers up or you did that on your own free volition, then even if that narrows the paths before you later on, it's all considered to be under that initial act of ratzon. Okay? So shekol zman, here I don't know what's, there's something strange about the text here.
And like the, as long as at all time where you're not being
a
garish, you're not
hiding
yourself with
the knot. I don't know what this means.
I mean, you're only chayv in the knot if you
are. I don't know. He's saying that I'm
gonna, if I don't divorce her, I'm not gonna pay her.
Correct.
But when does that come to fruition? Is that what it's saying?
I don't know what he's saying. Does that mean every single moment I don't have,
I have a divorce or I cannot eat peros? When is that?
I don't know.
To not come into play.
I think there's something wrong with the text here. Shkol zman megarish, lo nischai biknas.
I think he's saying like, what, yeah, I think when does it come into play? Because like, at that moment, he still hasn't divorced her yet. Even if he divorces her later. He's saying, if I don't divorce her, I won't eat peros. So that means from the second he says that, he can all eat peros.
Yeah, it sounds like.
This seems to be saying to it. Close my chin on the garage, she'll only spy if you can ask.
Feel free to go
with him. Because
he always has still has the opportunity to divorce
her. Right.
That's, he never gets a time frame.
Yeah. Had it been if I don't divorce her?
Eventually. Eventually divorce her.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what he's trying to say here. So we need to think more about these three lines. I would say look to the original tshuva, but I don't think we have the original tshuva of this or Maimon Noar. It's just quoted here in the Beis Yosef. But let's skip the next paragraph. Masha Kalsir Abusina Tzarfatim.
She'im Nishpa Liten Get Sarach Yaturu Lo Kodem Lo Yadol Elon. Right, if you get tshuva, you have to be Matir the fourth, it's not Dolan in this. And their response to the Gemara and Gittin and Bob is that was Tala the Dabar Adar. That's why it's not a problem.
Good. So you're saying even Rabbeinu, so even Rabbeinu Peretz, so let's think about it this way. What is the Tshuva's, the Sir Maimon's, what's his rationale for why the Knas is kosher? Eitan? What's his rationale for why the Knas is kosher?
This is from his dot.
Yeah, self-imposed. Right? He imposed it upon himself. So what about the Rabbeinu Peretz? Rabbeinu Peretz says that if you took a Shavua, that you should be makir the Shavua before you go ahead and give the get. So Rabbeinu Peretz clearly disagrees. So his answer is that, like, or how does Rabbeinu Peretz make sense of that raya from Gittin Mem Vav of Yasru Kol Peiro Sa'ola Memeni Megar Sheikh? So what's his answer? Tol B'davar Acher. What is Tol B'davar Acher? Good. That Tol Nidra B'davar Acher, that's kosher. Whereas Nishba Lagarish is not kosher because Tala Haget Bishvuaso. So explain to me this distinction.
That the neder is not being, yeah, because the shua is direct, is only about the get. Shua is just like, I have to give the get.
Okay.
Neder is just, if I don't give a get, then I have, I'm, I'll be paros. I mean, there's another factor to the paros. So that seems to be the davarach, the, that's what he think, it means tala davarach, and that's what tala davarach is shua.
So what's the... From me?
You know, they're in the
path. What?
If there's something happening, you can choose to not, you know, the nether says do this or do that. The school says you're doing X.
Yeah. But it's actually, let me see this word. I think the thought here is that, can you give me a marker? No.
Wow.
It's
going
to be you got to get a staple.
So here's one idea. I will, or I have to.
Yeah, most, if I don't divorce, or if I don't have these terms.
Good. If I don't, and what?
Then I always pay less.
No proof.
I will pay.
If I was in.
Writer, undergo.
Go, again, undergo.
Either or, right? I'll pay or undergo like these costs, right? Like whatever. So the thought is that here, this is a direct onus because you're obligating yourself to divorce. Whereas here, there's no direct obligation to divorce. Somehow the, what you're really obligating is something else that just gets triggered by your failure to divorce.
You're obligating either divorce.
Some of us might just look at this as a semantic difference.
But the netter itself is not.
Wow.
I mean, I think the difference with Lashon of Tala and the Shua, so that basically the Shua, you have to give a get.
Right.
Based
so
the netter, you don't really have something you have to.
Correct.
You have to take.
Right. So there's nothing positive pushing you to give a get. There's just some sort of cost that's creeping in elsewhere if you fail to. That's the idea?
Yeah, but
also, I can see somebody looking at this and saying, there's no real distinction between these two. Josh, is that what you're...
I mean, you could. And I think there is a way to, like...
Huh?
I think there is.
Somebody might say this is just like selling your chametz. This is kind of legal formalism. Not that selling your chametz is legal formalism, but... So, somebody might say, like, well, this is such a subtle difference. I don't really see why one... And... So the thought is, this is Onet. This is Raza. That's what you get. That's what the Rabbeinu Maimon Nahor is saying explicitly. Okay. Me?
Yeah, and it's like it's unclear why you would just say they're violating Shua.
Right. You could have said all this first thing amounts to I'll divorce my wife, or I swear I'll divorce my wife. It's basically saying that if I don't divorce my wife, I'm gonna violate Shavua.
Yeah.
Right, I'm getting some sort of sanction for Shavuot Sheker. That's what I'm saying. One could look at this and say, well, it's just, how do you parse the statement? But on the other hand, you might say, well, that's what matters for Onus. Right, even if psychologically it's the same result.
Why would that matter?
What?
Why
would one say that? So Romy wants to know the following. Let's say my brain state
is the same in, let's call this A and this B.
Let's do a little psychology.
Neurology.
What?
Neurology.
Or neurology.
If you want, I can take this on psychology.
Right. So let's say what happens here is you're basically saying threat of punishment for Shavua Sheker if I don't get my wife again. That's how your mind works. And here, the way the mind works is just like, oh my gosh, no more fruit. If I don't give my wife get her, no more 200 zuvim, whatever it is. So why should one be onus and one not be onus? Why should one be onus and one be ratzon? Simply because this statement makes reference to an obligation to divorce, and this one doesn't make reference to it. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Now, you might say, okay, maybe my statement is wrong. Maybe the halacha here is assuming that the brain state in A is different than the brain state in B. Maybe the halacha is assuming, and Ezra could tell us, the halacha is assuming that the brain state in A is, I must divorce my wife. And the brain state in B is, I can do whatever I want about divorce. Just the question is, do I care about eating fruit? So it's worth considering whether we think that there's some psychological difference between the cases, or we could concede that in terms of how people make decisions, they're the same. But nevertheless, we have legal criteria for what counts as duress. Duress has to be direct. Direct could be defined by whether your statement makes explicit reference to the divorcing the wife, to an obligation to divorce your wife. Yeah.
No, it would be. I'd assume preceding this is if I will divorce my wife, and then if I don't, I will pay. That sentence by itself doesn't mean anything.
What?
I'm saying that you're saying that's not referencing the divorce. If I don't divorce my wife, so now it's
so the point is this is all the negative.
Yeah.
But you might say, well, psychologically, this is the same as saying that I must divorce my wife or else I can't eat food anymore. Or else I'll lose 200 zoos. Right? So I'm going to say it's a little tricky here to figure out exactly what the difference is.
Right? Yes, Andrew?
So what we were saying before about how potentially the Shavuah or the condition kind of locks him into his original Ratzon.
Yeah, his earlier, right.
Yeah, it seems like if we're looking at it this way, then really only A kind of does that because B leaves it open to, like, either way, like, I'm leaving it open to some sort of penalty, but it probably won't be, like, the biggest deal to them.
As opposed to A?
Which I think is, like, more of a certain statement that I'm going to divorce my wife.
Yeah, for sure the A is more direct, or it's more certain. But is that just in the way the formulation, like the way it's stated, like the language that's used, one's direct and one's indirect language, or is the thought that the psychological processes which underlie A are somehow different from the psychological processes that underlie B?
Right, it seems to me like the way we're looking at it now is like E is more of a penalty he's willing to take on if he ends up changing his mind, while A is less so.
You're saying so psychologically, B is just like, hey, here are my two options. I could either divorce or I could not divorce, yeah, and
exactly.
Here's the consequence of not divorce.
That seems like the important difference is that in B there's another option.
Like, yeah. Okay, so here there's like a neuron firing saying, like, I must divorce, right? And here, there's no neuron firing.
Well, like, keep it true. I know that's technically the right thing to do, so I'm going to try to go for that and then have the penalty.
So it sounds like you're saying, you're making a case that there's, like, a different psychological process.
Keep it true and just pay instead of divorcing. So he's not forced to divorce in order to keep the shvuah.
Well, there's no shvuah in B, but yeah, I mean, the chiyuv knas.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. So in other words, let's put it this way. In B, there's a way for him to walk out unscathed, like not having violated his chayvus.
Yeah, except for his chiyuv to divorce his wife, obviously. But
well, there's no chiyuv, right? There's no chiyuv.
Right.
Whereas in A, anything but divorcing his wife will result in some violation,
right,
some wrongdoing.
Which is why it's not right then.
You could look at it that way. Again, you could respond and just say that the wrongdoing is just the cost.
Right.
Right? If I don't divorce my wife, I'll end up with a shvuah sheker. That's just the equivalent of no payros, and unless you say that violating a shvuah sheker is more chamor or that answer.
Yeah, just not that about that. In this case, I mean, what happened to he's Rosa Leo's child, so he wants to do
this is Shaloka, there's no chiyuv lagaris here.
No, but now there's no chiyuv to follow your shvuah though. Why is that trigger that? Like, he wants to build a state, so what? Why should that be honest? Like, altogether, why does this remove Rosa?
Interesting. It's an artificial shvuah.
Yeah,
that was my question. Why is it different on the Torah?
Yeah,
it was artificially imposed. Interesting. It's a really good question. Are you saying if there's a mitzvah to fulfill your shvuah, then what's the basis for saying that it's self-imposed duress? Self-imposed duress should be the same as chacham and chivuka. As you're asking also, Josh?
I mean, was it yesterday? I don't know, like a couple of days ago, we brought up the fact that, you know, shvuah, right, is a little complicated. It's a normative obligation. It's the same thing as from the Torah. You know?
Right, right. So I guess it's worth considering whether the mitzvah l'shma d'vei chachamim is somehow stronger than a mitzvah to uphold your own shvuahs. Like, might say that's more just like a law to fail to do, as opposed to like some positive thing to fulfill your shvuahs. Maybe that's the way to go.
Once you get out of a shvuah, you can't get out of a divrei chacham. You can get out of a shvuah by going to like three rabbis and saying, I did the shvuah, could you help me get out of it?
There's another way out, you're saying.
There's a way out. So it's very difficult. Very
it's even less.
Yeah, then it's more like this though, then, right? If it's just, yeah. Again, at most it's dome alonas,
right,
to be fair. So Ezra?
To provide more evidence for the psychological difference, there have been case studies, yeah, where they found that when daycares imposed fines on parents who picked up their kids late, more parents actually picked up their kids late because I don't know if there have been like full
studies. Right, I mean, this path is it's a genuinely open path.
Yeah, right? In a lot of evidence that, yeah, if you provide an alternative option, people will view that as a more acceptable option.
Right.
They don't like the first one, they're actually more likely to go with it.
That's great.
So
you get Ezra's job for him, other Ezra's, yes, job for him. Because.
To be fair, I'm only in intro.
Right. So you're saying there's something psychologically about the knas. Knas is always a viable option. Whereas the violation of the shvuah would be like a objective wrongdoing, that's more of a deterrent, a hard barrier that people wouldn't want to cross.
And there's an argument to make that it's just like social pressure, and that in itself is a cost, but it's at the very least, it's very clearly a much stronger cost.
Yeah.
So maybe that there's like an actual like.
Yeah. So you're defending the view that the psychological processes of B are different than the psychological process of it. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so let's look at the Piskei Tshuva's objection to this analysis. So bottom page 24, we had the Piskei Tshuva Kuf Lamed Aleph Yud, cited in the Mishkanos Yaakov. So far, we just have a l'chatchila disagreement in the Shulchan Aruch between this Tshuva of the Ramaimo Noar and the Tshuva Sarashba. That's how Shulchan Aruch presented it, about the case of Chiv Atzmo Biknat. Is that considered free will megarish mirtzono, or is that considered coercive? The Piskei Tshuva doesn't like that presentation. What's his argument? So he cites the case in the Mishkanos Yaakov on somebody who was anos based off a contract that said imlo yivienu aviv legarish yitin knas sacha mevur sham. Or that if he fails to divorce the wife, then he's going to pay a certain penalty. So the Mishkas Yaakov cited this machlokas, these 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. And he said, "Ein kan machlokas klal, va'ikar taloi be'im she'anachnu yodim u'makirim she'in megari shalom mitzad haknas, u'megala daita bekach, then have a get me'usa." So what's the claim here? Velo hitiro harashbats v'haravar maimon, that's the Tshuva of Beis Yosef, rak benidon detu shekiva mitchila knas mitzad atzmo, v'ritzono hapasha, velo zaz midaita mitchila v'yatzo. So this was, Ezra, you raised this question, right? He reads the Tshuva of Beis Yosef as being a case where there never was charata. That's the kimu. But when there is charata, then it doesn't matter that your past self wanted to divorce. Your present self can't be bound by your past self's commitment. Correct? He says, in such a case, everybody would agree that this is considered duress. Let's see. Then he has, does anybody have a thought on that? Josh?
I think it's very difficult, meaning I think it's very difficult to differentiate between this case and any time somebody divorces his wife and he like latches on for a specific reason. Why is it that, meaning, okay, like granted, it's your past self, like, you know, forcing you, and that means like it's an external forcing. But right now you're making the decision that you want to get divorced because you don't want to have to pay this fine. Why is that different than any other time where you divorce her because, you know, you decide you want to marry someone else, and to kind of regain your freedom and force you that, meaning, oh, you have to divorce her first to marry someone else. I mean, why is that different? It's like, why could this get through an audience any more than any other time you decide to divorce her for some reason?
Wow. It's a tricky question. So you start this sugya, and like agamotzo gavra machni, and it sounds like everything is free will, right? Because like there's always duress, and like that's how decisions are made. So everything's bechira. Like kovana sochim rotsani, that's rabuna. So you have zavin zvini zvini, and then you're saying once these achronim are worried about, you're only doing it now because some commitments from your earlier self and stuff like that, then none of it is, and you think that's anus, then, you know, you're anus machmas came to me to Gershom or something like that. Is that your point?
It made sense when we were saying shooting, either like you can't think logically or you have other choices. But when you're getting to like, you know, this fine which you could accept and which isn't like, you know, overriding like, you know, your logical brain, well, yeah, why is everything not anus now?
Right. Rami?
That's Josh. I think there's an obvious distinction, just in the case of being the relegation of doctor, I think, that the guy wants to get the work. I mean, he wants to marry another woman. So part of me is doing his
corruption.
Okay. And this guy wants to have more money.
Huh?
This guy wants to have more money.
Well, do you think the business Juba thing said, if you want to divorce your wife and you're also doing partially because of the class, and you also, that's also, yeah, that's also coercion. Doesn't work.
In which case?
What if the guy is divorcing his wife? He part of him wants to divorce his wife, and also he will catch him up at the finish line to the fact that he, you know, has to pay fine. Meaning, it's basically true to the point that if you're divorcing her,
I don't think we know, right?
Well, it says elements out of class. It's only if it's only the class that's forcing you to get divorced. And that's the only time it would be, yeah.
Well, I'm a garish. I can see like the only thing that gets him to divorce is the knas. He says that's a get Musa. Ezra, you want to respond to Josh?
Oh, I don't think Josh is one, because I actually did initially think that during my initial reading that it might be like a single smith failure type thing, or if there's a single primary factor, then it's, and that's defined as Musa. But I think.
What do you mean a single primary factor?
Meaning, if I understood that correctly, yeah, because this is also how I initially read it. It might seem like he's saying that Shane Magarish Ella Mitzadik Knas. There's one factor driving this divorce, and if you take that factor away, he would not divorce.
Right, but for.
Yeah. But I don't like that because I think you then run into an issue where it's very easy to get, becomes a technicality that's very easy to get around. I think you would see that more. So then Beit Din could just go, okay, so we're going to impose a knas and we're going to imprison you and we're going to impose all sorts of various other things. So it seems like.
Well, those would all be duress, right?
If you have multiple various sources, then it seems like it actually would no longer be defined as Manusa. And I think you would see that.
Well, if they're coercive, then they would all be texa of isui and onsem. Right, so the multifactorial, if they're all onus type of factors, then that would just be a gemusa. Right?
You can't force it more.
Correct. Josh's question becomes interesting in a case where the guy's das, he's 70% there based off the fact that his wife can't cook. But now he's 30% more there because of the cost, the financial cost of violating his knas.
I mean, so I guess fine.
Right, that's where it becomes interesting. Josh, no?
I guess. I mean, my question is more just even some cases are getting divorced. How are we differentiating between wanting to get divorced because of the knas and any other reason? Any other reason where we would say that's not the case? That was my question.
And Romy, what was your answer?
I just was wondering if you could read the truth as saying that it's a function of the fact that
another way of putting Josh's point almost is I'm only divorcing my wife now because I made the wrong decision earlier in marrying her. Right, wherever, put it, roll it through however you want with these different permutations. And so there's a certain sense where I only have Ratzon Legaresh based off certain past desires that already solidified in my mind. Right?
Or not past desires, like maybe just like
other things.
Yeah.
Like present Chaim Dibur
Negershom.
Yeah. As an example. I suppose you could distinguish like based off prominence in someone's mind, and you could say, well, why are you getting divorced? And you wouldn't say, oh, because Chaim Dibur Negershom doesn't allow me to have a second wife. Like you could locate reasons that are more central to the basis for dissolution of the marriage and ones that are more ancillary. I guess, and you could have some procedure for saying those ancillary background things are not the, you have to say something like that. Like primary reasons and background reasons, and Chaim Dibur Negershom would be background. Machlokas between the machlokas in the tshuva of the Rebbeinu Maimon and the Mishkanos Yaakov here would be about is the past knas maybe like a background reason or a prominent reason for why you're divorcing?
What prominent reason would be okay? What would be an example of a prominent reason which is fine? Or, I mean, I guess it's like, you know, she commits no sin, fine.
What?
I guess it'd be like, she commits no sin, something. People would say that, like,
I mean, you want to divorce her.
Why? No, you want to divorce her.
You don't like her. Or you don't want to be with her.
I mean, then you could say that, oh, but if it weren't for that fact, you could. Right? Any variation of taking that line of the elements out of Knas thing as the primary thing of what he's saying does run into an issue of even if you go with the imminence idea of it needs to be a primary reason, I think you do still wind up running into the issue of, okay, but you can say that whenever. And then it becomes very hard to say that you can get divorced any case outside of where there's chiyah.
No, because the element knas is not the same as element tzad, other things.
Right. It's maybe you distinguish between things that are internal to marriage and things that are external to marriage reasons. You don't like that? So you could say anything that's internal to marriage is not considered ones. That make sense? What?
An example.
Higdicha tavshilo.
You don't like her.
What?
Or you don't like her.
Right. Matzacheres, no, I mean, or whatever it is, they don't get along type things. Like all those things would be reasons like internal to marriage. You're saying, why are those different from just like a friend at wanting to save $200,000? Right? Interesting. Rumi?
Do you think there's any reason to read the Teshuvah as being worried about it just being obvious that in the extreme case where it's very obvious that he's working it only for that reason? Like that's what the Yodim are hearing there.
He says right, in the middle, he says, but what does that mean? Whatever, 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 whatever,
does in the Can we say that this is grounded in something else, which I think is similar to what I was trying to say before, it's like how much is this like obviously just a function of his being forced to pay the money, or is it like some mixture, and like, okay, if the money pushes him over the line, and if 70% of him wants to divorce this woman, and but he's not going to do it, like, you know, give him a little kick, and this money does, the bonds do that, then that's fine.
Well, I would just say the two formulations that you pointed to seem to be inconsistent with each other then, because the second formulation says that the only time the Rabbeinu Maimon would allow for this to be a good gerushin is when he accepted it, he accepted a kenas on his own free will, and lo zaz midaita mitchila biatzo. Like he remained resolute in that initial...
What should be different from what I just said?
If we know that he remained resolute, then we know the gerushin is still beratzon. But in a case where he's megala daito bekach, that he's no longer resolute in wanting to give her the get, then he seems to count that as anachnu yodim makirin shem megari shalom mitzadak nas. He seems to be saying that any time we're not, we don't know that he was lo zaz midaito mitchila biatzov, then we would view the husband as acting under duress.
He's saying that in the two cases.
The two formulations seem to be at odds on that issue. The first formulation that you pointed to says, oh, we have to know that he's acting bonus in order to disqualify the self-imposed knas. The second half says, it's we only could assume he's acting Mirtzono Achafshi, or Mirtzono, what he calls Mirtzono Apashat, if it's lo zaz midaita mitchil batzo. So my sense of misformulation is that so long as we know that now he doesn't want to give a get, that would disqualify the self-imposed knas. Right? It would make it duress. That's how I understand it. So if you have a response to this, or do you agree with that reading? Makes sense. All right. Any other thoughts in the Pesachei Tshuva here? No thoughts? There's only one other formulation here on the bottom of 24 to the top of 25. The very top of 25. Sket, who is reading the Pesachei Tshuva for us? So, Ezra, why don't you read the top of 25 for a second? Oh, the Iker Svaras and Makilin.
Oh, the Iker Svaras and Makilin, the Misha Kabbalah of Kanazda. So, Onishkal Garishu, the Unted Nashe, Lohabilon.
So, he's saying this theory of Ramaimon assumes that Unted Nashe is law bonus.
Are you robbing McDonald or Shona spoken to someone that the Matana?
She's just saying that, look, it's an open question whether unta denapshe is considered to be ones in certain cases. It's true that when you get some sort of compensation for an unta denapshe, like talyuva zavin zvini zvini, then we would not view it as ones, but it's not clear if you're not getting any compensation in exchange, like talyuva yahiv, there everybody might agree that unta denapshe have ones. So he has two chidushim. He's saying, look, assume arguendo that unta denafshe law of ones. Maybe that's only when you haven't changed your mind. But maybe it's false that unta denafshe law of ones in all cases. Like in the case where you're not getting any compensation for what you're receiving. In other words, maybe onto the nafshi la'avonis only when you're getting compensated for the thing that you forced yourself into. So for both of those reasons, he doesn't like. Now then, he wants to argue that maybe being megaresh, getting divorced, is analogous to talyuvaya, which we'll talk about a little later on. All right. Questions on the Pesachei Tshuva? Does everybody see how that torpedoes the... If you run with this Pesachei Tshuva, that torpedoes the self-imposed knas justification for a get that you're giving under the penalty of a self-imposed fine being a get meritzon achavshi. Even though the Shulchan Aruch only made it sound like it's a l'chatchila issue, not a b'diavad issue, that Pesachei Tshuva makes it into a b'diavad issue.
You said we passed like a Pesachei Tshuva against the Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, a lot of people think that this Pesachei Tshuva is right. What did you say?
Nothing. I just said I found a Shulchan Aruch more compelling than the Pesachei Tshuva.
Well, if you found it more compelling, then...
Why do you find it more compelling?
For the reason I found it more. I don't know.
Everything's onus.
A little bit, maybe. I don't know. It's tricky to come up with a differentiating...
Josh's not happy.
It is interesting that we possibly and maybe that's not a doctor here, but I guess I feel like you believe so why we're getting it through.
Well, you can see the logic. I mean, why should Ratzon be something based off the past and not the present? Right now, when he's giving the get, he doesn't want to give the get.
I mean, we on the fact that he, or whatever, gives the knot, might be going to pay money he doesn't want to.
Say again.
So that, first of all, I can answer that question, meaning you make decisions, then you're responsible for the decision that you make.
Right.
Why don't we consider, like, you could say, like, you signed a contract. We don't generally say that if you change your mind, then it's okay if you change your mind after you sign a contract.
Right.
Come here, that's one. Two.
You like the Reb Maimon.
Yeah, but the thing is that...
Right, you gave your das mitchila, and that's your final word on it.
When you sign a contract, for the most part, it doesn't matter whether or not it's given voluntarily, whatever you're doing. Like, you sign a contract to, like, do work for someone. You're allowed to do work for them... You can't divorce them.
Another way Yonatan's point is that your contract thing is not a good analogy because here you need ratzon. It's a special halacha. Well, look, you could have said, hey, your ratzon, we got your ratzon through coercion, but that's kind of the paradox of this whole sugya, right? What's ratzon and what's coercion? It's actually a lot murkier than initially anticipated, partially thanks to Josh's point here. Everything you do is bonus. Okay, so let's look now at a few formulations in the Rishonim that will help us pin down the Hagdara of what counts as ones here. And we'll see a couple of chilukim and different types of pressure. So let's start with the Rashba, good, on page 26, about threat of jail. Daniel Zolti, did you prepare the Rashba? Okay. So is that a yes or is that a no?
We can do the next.
Okay.
Do the next.
Oh, the next one? It's morning. The next one's a lot harder than the Rashba, but okay. Charlie, did you prepare the Rashba? Chilik Beis Simen Reish Ayin Vav?
We did. We didn't understand it so much.
Okay. Give it your best shot. You want to embarrass yourself. Yeah.
Safe space.
That's right. Go for it. Oda Marta. So what's going on there? Benechusha time.
It's that Beitin threatens to take you away in chains, copper chains.
Yeah, to lock you up in chains.
Yeah.
Chains. So it's like a threat of like locking you up if you don't give a get. Does it? Well, what do you mean by halacha? When the Rishonim talk about,
I don't have prison in Torah Judaism.
What do you mean by Torah Judaism? The Rishonim talk about locking people up all the time. Yeah, as an example, not paying your debts. He's unhappy with it, but he says, but if it's the minog, right, if it's the minog, then it's the minog.
Yeah.
But here too, you can see that they're using it as a threat of locking this guy up if he doesn't give his wife a get. Right?
I was looking into like the history or how it plays out in like minors or not. And apparently they can, they actually have things where they can lock people up for that.
But again, it's not a chiddush in a case of midin. This whole sugya is only the issue of onus is only if it's shelo kedin. If it's kedin, you can do whatever you want. That was very clear. I don't know if you guys saw that. I think the Beis Shmuel said that explicitly on the Shulchan Aruch, but it's also obvious misvara.
Why
not? Afilu b'shotim. Hey, Ches.
No, it's not obvious misvara, but it's obvious mekoros. But I mean, the misvara, you don't need that. You don't need ratzon in the case of bidin of him.
Or some, I mean, fill in the blank. Is it the Aga wants to come to Ramakni? Mrs. Shmuel the Bechor
Kone? If you give, I get, if any kind of version gets me Ratzon, and what will happen in the case is voted in, I don't know if it goes
Ratzon. Right. Correct.
But not sufficiently explained.
To plug in, Rambam, Mrs. Shmuel the Bechor Kone, the Alshech.
No, but how do they answer that question? Well, the mitzvah is showing, I guess, that you're not following the mitzvah. Yeah. Even though we're
going to... You have not. You want to do what's correct.
And therefore, in the case of shalok is in, there's no mitzvah to do it.
Correct.
Even though the bezin is going to force you to think it's not a mitzvah.
The bezin just messed you up. The bezin... Right, there's no mitzvah to listen to the bezin.
It's wrong. It's not correct. A case where there's no mitzvah that can force you to do it's bad.
Right.
Okay.
And remember, we passing that I think Shalokin is only puzzle. It's a little tricky. Not that it's ain't no get. That has to be sorted out a little bit. Why?
Okay.
Well, but so, this whole discussion is only put Shalokin. That's important to bear in mind. Does everybody know that? What? Beauty? What? Okay. Charlie, so go on. So they threatened to put him in chains if he didn't give his wife a get. Machmas.
Machmas. We all know. See, but because he was threatened, he then commanded to write a get. I Omer keep it. They know. Mama, he gets out of it. He established it because I was threatened. That's why I.
As I was gonna say, I'm giving the get because you threatened to put me in jail.
I close your Omer. I'll go marketing.
I love that.
That's not. See, but love should
do. Right. What do they tell? What are the Bezin telling?
No, don't say that. Go back and say it's me, my Ratzon.
Exactly. Don't say that you're giving the guy. Say that you're giving on your own free will. So he said what they wanted him to say. Right? I'm giving the get on my own free will. Hayikare ze onus. That's the question. So what's the question? What's the issue here? What's the question about what? Whether this is onus. Okay, but what's the issue? Why is this a question about whether it's onus? You think the question is about his verbal statement because he said he's doing it under his own free will?
Yeah, so that's like a pregam in his verse.
Maybe. You don't get that. The Rashba doesn't really address that in his response. Right? The response seems to be about something else. From me?
Just the threat alone without enforcement?
Yeah. Like, here there's really just a threat. There was no actual kfiya. So is that onus?
The same is true for like saying the gun here had, like, you didn't actually shoot the gun. Like, the threat's just bad.
Okay. So, right. Yes, maybe kfiya means that the guy had to suffer something. Now you could respond and say, well, you're suffering by the threat. And that's why assault, you could assault somebody by pointing a gun at them. like you scare them or something, that's like pain, right? Or it's the 20th trauma.
20th century is definitely, you know, back in the good old days.
Right.
Put down people's heads and they're like, I'm sure.
So what is the answer? So go ahead, Charlie. Da. Actually, one interesting extra line here that's pretty interesting. But go on to Talu of Izavin. So what's the argument?
I mean, he said that anyone who has the ability to make something on it is the cloth too. And then in that case it would be considered owning.
Yeah, so it's the capacity to coerce combined with a threat that makes it coercion. So Yosef, exactly what you were saying. You don't need any physical coercion for it to count. As long as you have the capacity to do it and you threaten to do it, that counts as onus. And he says, Talua bizavan,
upside down, hang
out
on the tree.
You don't have to hang him upside down.
Oh, you don't have to.
I yeah. The Talua bizavan, the case of Talua bizavan in the Gemara, ain't tzarich lahamtin ad sheyitla. You don't actually have to hang the guy.
You just have to have a threat of hate.
Exactly. That's the Rashba's Chiddush. So you could have duress without any physical coercion yet.
How explicit does the correction have to be? Like, you just call over and the guy come over and say, I can think you're right again.
Right.
Is that message is needed or is that still like,
so yeah, like, tricky question. The Rashba here might say, right, so you show it with baseball bats in front of the guy's house and placards saying, do the right thing. So is that considered kvia?
Right.
Very interesting. Yeah, I mean, maybe you can take the Rashba to mean that would be considered kvia. Kol she yesh biyadan v'imu. I guess that's what does it mean to... Your question turns on what is iyum.
Yeah.
Like what does it mean to threaten? So I think it would turn on that question if you're basing yourself off this Rashba. Now, I do want to say there is one. So the Rashba says that you don't need actual coercion for it to be considered on us. In the last line, he does have an interesting line, not relevant to our present discussion, but definitely interesting more generally. He's saying any place where the minag is to be kofan tainas ma'isalai. Well, the Ron? Yeah, similar idea. I mean, if this is the minog in your place, that's even though we disagree, remember the Ron had that, Chugos, the Ron had that. But exactly the same idea. Even though it's a minority shita of Kofa from Osalai, and the Rashba himself thinks that that's considered Kfiya Shalo Kedin, if your community holds that it's Kfiya Kedin like the Rambam, then even though it's Kfiya and Ones, it would be Kedin Ones. Right? Yeah. So it's philosophically interesting for him deferring to the Minhag HaMakom on something as fundamental as Kfiya Lagarish, which will determine whether she's an Ashish and whether the kids are Mamzerim. Just want to flag that. Okay. Turn to page 27. So that's about the threat of putting someone in jail. Yeah, let me just also say here it's a threat, and it's also just the threat of jail. Is jail so terrible? What?
Which country?
Right. It's an interesting question. Yes, Ruben Nechoshtayim. That's an interesting question. What do you think Nechoshtayim means here? It just means Nechoshas. Do you think it means like a cage?
Handcuffs,
that idea? Shackles?
Yeah,
because they'd be under house arrest or something. They'd like lock him up.
No, I see what shackles mean. Jail.
Yeah.
I'm weird to picture even like locking both of them down. Like, see.
What the, like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
So it's just an interesting point. Why is that? Why it's not so obvious that should count as coercion.
Really? You can't go anywhere.
What
do you go lock?
What are standard places? In modern Hebrew, it means.
Chains.
Yeah.
Put them in chains. I guess it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
But that's an interesting question. The question is, how non-ideal does it have to be for it to cross the threshold into...
Well, that's like the definition of goodness. You never actually will ever... I mean, like, don't...
You're locked up.
You can't use... Yeah.
You could use your mind. You know? Okay, look here at this Mordechai, just quickly, top of 27. V'chulu hayu kaifinu l'bishotim. Let's get a... Charlie, you did great, by the way, on that trip as a Rashba.
I thought you were going to have to keep on going. We got to that part, and then after that, we got a little lost with the
dog. Okay. Let's get a quick take on this Mordechai, Ned. This is the basis for that distinction of Shulchan Aruch between Kfiyah B'Shutim and Kfiyah B'Dibur. V'lo B'Shamta. So Romy's going to like this. So you can't put somebody in Cheirem, in Nidui. Why not? Because Shamta is Chamira Minagida. What does that mean? Yeah, well, Nidui is worse than physical coercion. That's the, I think it's a really interesting perspective. Sometimes, you know, in halacha, you have a lot of malchus and mardus. And so how bad is that? So the Gemara here thinks that oftentimes corporal punishment, meaning punishment to the body, is more tolerable than something like cheirem or nidui, which has no punishment to the body, but you're basically excommunicated. So if I asked you which is worse, which would you say intuitively? Well, yeah, I think there's an intuition that like lashes or being hit physically, anything like the corporal punishment to the body is always going to be worse than being excommunicated, where there's no one's touching you or like putting you under pain. But the Gemara Pesachim, which this Mordechai is quoting, thinks that Nidui can be worse than Cheirem. Sorry, Nidui can be worse than Malchus. In America, there's like a lot of jail, like locking somebody up, which is, let's say, more than Nidui. But there's no corporal punishment. What do you mean? Not in the Jewish community, in the society at large. There's a lot of jail, but there's no. So it's just funny. I'm saying, I think there's a sense that jail is more humane than corporal punishment. Right, it's an argument. I think there's an argument to be made to the contrary. It's just worth thinking about. The Gemara here thinks that Shamta is Chamira Minagida. Anybody look at Simon Shin Lamed Daled to get a sense of what's included in Nidui? So we'll see. So the point here that the Mordechai makes is that putting somebody in Nidui would count as coercion. Because the Gemara prohibits kofin b'shotim where it's shalokidim. So he says by extension, achas kam b'kama, under the assumption of shamta chamina minigida, this type of excommunication would be prohibited also. It's still a bit of a mystery to us why that's different than the harchokas or Rabbeinu Tam. I know we had a few suggestions, but you can see in this Mordechai himself, he has that distinction. Aval Haram Kohen Kasav. Banados Lo. So there's this interesting idea that Shalom Lisa Velitain Emo is okay, so long as it doesn't rise to the level of a full blown Nidui. You get a little story about Rabbeinu Tam. So what happened?
So Rabbeinu Tam went full throttle against this guy. Put him in. There was
no. The not, community went all out against not, somebody.
Not a case where they put it in there, but put it in there at in the Darum and the Rebbe Tam.
Possible to get right. Says Rebbe Tam Lushitasa that you can make a gzeirah shul lisa v'likein, but you can't go to full blown nidui. So it's what's included in a full blown nidui. So look here in the Shimon Shin Lamed Aleph that you have on page 27 in your Yoredeya. Yeah, go for it, Ned. Yeah, so what's the status of someone who's menudo muhram? So skip to Siv Beis, that's where you have. Apane Beza, Shari. Because there's no big question whether relatives could sit within four amos of someone who's in Cherem or Nidui. Yeah. Ishtu Bana would be the narrowest set.
Yeah.
Right. Can't eat or drink with people. Can't include him for a Zimun. Yeah, no minion. Okay, so that's an exceptional case. Then you can see also here. Here, skip to Vassar.
The Vassar is close to with the Sarah that you can use laundry or shave or paragraphs. Maybe like a sandal or like a shoe.
Yeah, he's Dinam of an Avel. So I think you could see how the Harchokas of Yonatam are more kal than the strict dinim of nidoy that you have in Yerides and Mishnah Lamed Aleph. Look here also a case of someone who's muhram.
Muhram, Loshanah, so you can't teach or be taught. The minister of Loshanah, you can't friend to him, can't friend to you. The Chaynas are the Nathalie observant today.
Yeah, so go on. Below your dabber email, it's a ref. So you shouldn't talk to him. You should only talk to him like you're talking with someone who's an Avelos, right? Also, Likhan is Labeso, Vein Chilik Benam and Lyoshev. Siv Gimel, Menu the Shemes. You don't tear Kriya for someone who dies in Nidui. That's fine. You don't have to get into the distinction. Ezra, you had a comment or
no?
Okay, but you get a general idea here. Look at Sif Yud for a second. Look at Sif Tes actually. Sorry, Sif Tes. Go on. They could add more chumras. Exactly. You could censure people who violate the nidui with him. Yeah, like not to bury his relatives. So again, I want us to still think whether the distinction between our chokas Rabbeinu Tam and this is in the scope of the prohibitions. That's one possibility. Or as we suggested in the last year, and maybe it's just about whether it's chal on him versus whether it's just a chal on other people. Just try to pin down what exactly the distinction is. In the Mordechai, it's very clear that Mordechai has that sharp distinction, right? Rabbeinu Tam just says, lo lisa v'litein, that's kosher. But if it becomes a nidoy, that's not. That's going to make it duress. Yoni?
If we get over that Gemara and stop and do that, saying that, like, is that doctor for the Malachachachim?
Is the Gemara saying it's doctor for the Malachachachim?
Then Bora, that's going to get worse than flashes.
Let's see. I did not get that impression from the Gemara Pesachim, and clearly the Mordechai didn't either.
Says, when I did my, I'm a little, I did not have delay, like,
I think that just means I'm really a defa of delay. That means that in the Marava,
they punish physically the Bar Beirav. They wouldn't.
Mimnu, I think they refrained from. They refrained from hitting them, but they didn't refrain from Shamta.
Then how do you better about it? Oh, and we gave him an easier one?
And we gave him a better, he went up the punishment. He's like, no, hitting is that one thing. I went up that.
Right. Right.
But also, Rashi emphasizes Talmud Shasara.
Yeah.
But that's just the case in, that's just the case of Nidoy that happened in Marava. But that's, the Gemara is quoting that for the general precedent that halakhically we view Shamta as a more severe punishment than Nidoy, than Negida, which is physical.
Yeah, but it's not saying that for a Bar Beirav.
No.
What?
Let's see.
I mean, then I can understand because in the Shulchan Aruch they're saying all these things, but oh, you can't be Zimin with him, you can't learn with him, you can't practice an opinion.
Well, tell Brandy to.
What?
Tell Brandy to.
That would what gonna do?
Count. That would go for
it. No, yeah, the doctor for Bar Beirav, I would care about that more than Amar.
I think the Gemara, we could look at the Gemara more carefully, but I think the Gemara is just saying that they refrained from Malchus or Mardus, but they didn't refrain from Shamta. Sorry. The Gemara is saying, "Marava mimnu anegida de barbe rav." In the case of a Talmud Chacham, where they wanted to give the softer punishment, there they only gave Mardus and not Shamta.
And they wanted to give the softer punishment.
Right, but that's consistent with the general rule
that excommunication
is more chamer. Right.
For Talmud Chacham.
Well, in general, it's harsher. In the case of Bar Beirav, in the case of Marava, where they wanted to give a more kal punishment, they only appointed a Mardus person because they wanted to go softer on the Talmid Chacham. That's the context in the Sugya Misachim.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get in one other quick discussion here. I want us just to look very quickly at the comment of the Meiri on the bottom of 28. Sorry. But the comment is on the top of 29. So just look at this highlighted section here. Yoni, why don't you read that for us? The Isoy Zesh Shavuska Mishnah Seinu. This is the Meiri commenting on the Sugya Pei Chesem and Beis.
Yeah, the Isoy Zesh Shavuska Mishnah Seinu Losov Dabar Shatu Beku Alta. Not that then they were hitting him physically. Ella kol ones the mashma, afilu ones mammon, if you're going to try to coach him in the mono, ashi garish or afilu la knas.
So what does the Meiri add to the discussion here?
So it's not only physical friction, it's also like afilu ones mammon.
Even financial. That's a bit of a chiddush. Again, the Rashba already extends it to threatening with locking somebody up. That's the Chuvah Rashba's extension of the Hagdara of Ones.
Maybe it goes further to say that even on his mom.
Yeah, even financial, right? So we'll freeze your assets if you don't give a get. That would rise to the level of Ones, right? Notice too, separately, he adds Afilu Kibla Me'atzmo. Let's say he accepted the Kanas on himself. So who's he siding with on that issue? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the Piskei Tshuva's view. That even if you voluntarily accepted a Kanas, but then, for not giving your wife a get, but then you changed your mind and decided that you wanted to get divorced, that's considered onus. Because your present will is out of line with what you had previously wanted. So it's just interesting that this Meiri commenting on the Mishnah says the same thing that the Piskei Tshuva says. That in the Mishnah is Yaakov. Okay. We'll talk more about this in the Meiri in the next year. Let me just say one other. Okay, we'll stop. We'll stop here. For next year, I want us to go through the Makoros from 28. Can we start getting into that Tshuva Tashbetz next year?
For sure.
The long Tshuva Tashbetz. All right, so let's do that. 28 through the Tshuva Tashbetz. Tashbetz is about everything. No, it's about three forms of onus.